In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved in the Lord, questions are important to learning. I've got a 5-year-old who asks questions all the time. You need it to learn. What I'd like you to consider today is that the questions you begin with determine often where you end up. That's actually a cardinal rule for any kind of research. The questions you pose to do your research are very important. It really does affect where you end up. If you ask the question, where in the timeline does this fossil fit in evolution, you're going to get a certain kind of answer. Or as the joke goes, somebody asked the question, when did you stop beating your dog? Kind of determines things, because if you say, well, I didn't, that means you didn't stop. And if you say, well, last week, then that means either way, that question leads to an answer. It directs your attention. It gives you a focus. It sets the stage. The question you begin with determines often where you end. And I bring that up today because we're told that a Pharisee came to Jesus to ask him a question to test him. So this could be an interesting question. It could be kind of sinister. I wonder what the question is going to be. How will the Pharisee test Jesus? Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Anyone else kind of disappointed with that question? I was kind of hoping it'd be a little more juicy, a little more interesting, but that's the question the Pharisee asks. Which is the great commandment in the law? Well, what I want you to notice is that the question that this Pharisee asks actually reveals his heart. Maybe that question isn't all that exciting to us, but it must be important to this Pharisee and actually many of the other religious leaders. Because I don't know if you remember, but this is at least, when I was thinking about it, this is at least the third time someone has asked him the question, what's the most important commandment? The Pharisees are regularly watching Jesus to see, is he going to heal on a Sabbath? Because that would be breaking a law, they would think. How do people wash their hands? They watch Jesus and his disciples to see how they wash their hands. Continually, the focus of the Pharisees is the law. And when I say that reveals something about their hearts, here's what I mean. You really get the sense that their entire existence was focused on this question, what do I have to do? Thinking that what I do dramatically affects the outcome. In fact, if we are going to be saved, if we are going to be rescued, it all revolves around this question, what's the law? What do I have to do? You get that? Pharisee's question that he is obsessed with is the law. What do I do? What do I not do? I kind of wonder what questions you have this morning. Because there's a lot of uncertainties. I'm sure you've got uncertainties. Uncertainties at home. Uncertainties at work. Uncertainties in the nation. Uncertainties about economic issues. Certainly uncertainties about health issues. I had the sniffles today. Do I come to church or not? Important questions, real questions. But what I want to draw your attention to is these questions that we might obsess about always tend to end here. What am I going to do? Right? What are we going to do? That's sort of the thing that we continually return to. And so we might not be asking the question the Pharisees said, what is the great commandment? But still, I think we're asking questions that it's comparable, right? It's a question that starts with ourselves. What are we going to do? Well, here's the thing then. Remember I said where you start determines where you end, right? You heard me say that? Okay. So if I start with the question, what am I going to do? If I start with the question about myself, it will always end in scarcity. Do I need to say that again? If I start with the question, what am I going to do? A question that focuses on self, I will always end in scarcity. The number one meditation in our hearts, I think, in this world is not enough. Not enough money, not enough time, not enough talents. How much sleep did you get last night? Not enough. How much money did you make on that project? Not enough. You ever notice how kids will ask the question, hey, Dad, is $1,000 a lot of money? It is until you make it. And then it's not enough. Who's going to be our president, Trump or Biden? Not enough. That's what seemingly we hear a great deal. And I think that's interesting. That's why maybe the Pharisees themselves, when they were asking the question, what's the great commandment? If you read through the New Testament, what you discover is they were continually adding requirements to the law because when I start with myself, I never know if it's enough. And so I just keep adding things to make sure to try and do enough, be enough. The question you start with determines where you end. And if you start with yourself, you're going to end with yourself. And if you end with yourself, I'm here today to tell you, you will end with a sense of scarcity. That's important to remember because I want you to notice that when the Pharisee asks the question, what's the great commandment? Jesus answers it, but then he counters with a different question. Which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus answers that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's in the Bible. It's important. He acknowledges it. But then Jesus asks the Pharisees a different question. All right, Merrick, it's time to get put on the spot. Did you catch it? What is the question that Jesus asks the Pharisee. Good. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? That's a smart kid over there. That's the question. It's not a question about what do you do. The question is, who is the Christ? And by the way, do you know what the word Christ means? It actually comes from the Greek in the New Testament. Christ is the New Testament word for Messiah. Is that not helpful? You know what the word Messiah means? Messiah is the Old Testament word for anointed one. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a title. Jesus is the anointed one. That is, he is the one who was promised from of old. He is the Savior. And Jesus seems to think that as important as the question is, what's the greatest commandment? Actually, the question that everything hinges on is all about the Christ. Who is he? What is his person? What is his work? Right? I mean, Jesus, he seems to focus on this question quite a bit. You look at Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks the question, who do people say that I am? And then the disciples give a lot of different answers, and then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is always returning to this question. People keep asking the question. Jesus does a miracle, and what's the question everyone wants to know? Who is this guy? What's the greatest commandment? Important. What do you think about the Christ? That's the question that Jesus says matters most. That's the question Jesus says you should start with. So what do you think? Who is he? What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? You know what? I find this fascinating. We're told specifically when Jesus poses this question, all about the identity, the Pharisees can't answer him. Jesus points out, he says, what do you think about him? And the Pharisees say, he's the son of David. And so then Jesus asks another question. He says, okay, well, if that's the case, how come David calls his descendant Lord in the psalm? David says, the Lord said to my Lord, the Christ, sit in my right hand. David calls his descendant a son. My in-laws are here this weekend, and you know what? Not once have my in-laws called any of my kids Lord. That would be weird. But David does. And the Pharisees don't know. The Pharisees can't answer that question. And the reason why I bring this up is because you can. I think this is easy to take for granted, but you actually can answer that question. Whose son is he? Well, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord. Who's Jesus? Who's the Christ? The Son of God. Remember Catechism? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. I'll say that again. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, is my Lord. Thank you for saying that. I was about to fall over. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true, born of the Virgin Mary, is my... That's a surprise. This man born of Mary is actually God. But you confess that every Sunday. And so I'm just here today to tell you that if you're going to obsess about anything, maybe it should be what you confess every time you say the creed. What do you think about the Christ? He's the Son of God. Because you see, when you start with that question, when you start with the question about your Savior, the end is not scarcity, but surplus. Jesus is enough. In fact, Jesus is too much. Jesus was too much for the Pharisees. After he asked them this question, they say, "We're not going to deal with this guy anymore." Jesus is too much for Pontius Pilate. Pilate has no idea what to do with Jesus as he stands before him, accused of all kinds of different things. Jesus is too much for the devil. Jesus is the only person that the devil could not manipulate or get a leg up on. In fact, Jesus is too much for the devil that the devil and all his angels are undone. Jesus is too much for death. Death could not hold Jesus. And if you start with that issue, that question, who is the Christ? Then you and what he does in defeating sin and death and the devil, now all of a sudden you're led to think about, well, that Jesus Christ is the one who's now at work on my behalf, for me and through me and in me. He is able to do abundantly more than we ask or think according to the power that's at work within us. Abundantly more. The Lord anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Always too much. There's no scarcity with Jesus. In fact, I bring this up because in the epistle lesson, we were told about this testimony about Christ, what was confirmed among the Corinthians. And by the way, this testimony that's confirmed about you, about the Christ, this question, who is Jesus? Who is the Christ? It's been confirmed among you. So that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. Those are some beautiful words. You are not lacking in any spiritual gift. I wonder if we think about it that way. It's interesting, the Corinthian church, they've got their issues. Scandal, schism. I mean, there was something going on in that church that you, it's the kind of thing you read about in the National Enquirer, only it was actually true. And these Corinthian Christians were really obsessed about who do we follow? Do I follow Paul or Apollos? They've got their issues, and yet Paul seems to think that they lack nothing. They are not lacking in any spiritual gift. Why? Because the Christ is at work in them and through them. To them, for them. They've got problems, but Christ is working them out. Of themselves, they are deficient, but Christ is at work and he is more than sufficient. I just get the sense sometimes that Christians, especially when they look at the circumstances and they think we're lacking But if you start with the question, who is the Christ? What do you think about him? You can make any, you can stand against any difficult boss. You can stand against any sickness. You can stand against death. You can stand against the devil himself. Because you have more than enough. You have a Savior. Your life is not defined by scarcity. Your life is defined by surplus. Don't look in here. Look here. In a world of uncertainties, the church has an opportunity to stand with a peace that surpasses all understanding and a confidence. I think maybe it would be good for us to practice starting with the right question. In fact, here's what's going to happen. Tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up and you might have a legion of questions badgering you about what are you going to do. And maybe do this. Start your day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, saying those words. And I know that's not actually a question, but it is the answer. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.